You feel something real? We've had first-time guests step into the building and say, whoa, what was that? Well, you want a short Bible study, I'll tell you, that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with us to the Word of God, I've got a very basic, very simple message I'd like to share with you this evening, or this morning, and look forward to it. God gave it to me, and so I'm going to share it with you. Praise the Lord. Judges chapter 7, verse number 9, where the word of the Lord says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand." Let's just stay right there for a minute. Amen. And I want to dissect this a little bit because I really need to read the whole chapter to you, but I didn't want anybody nodding out on me, so I gave you a scripture. But this is a tough time in Gideon's life, and Gideon was one of the judges in Israel before Israel received a king. And Gideon's praying about the enemy. The enemy has really come against him and come against Israel, and it's been bad. And Gideon's been praying about this thing. And so what does the Lord do? He says, put an army together. Gideon said, I can do that. And so he put one together. He put an army together with men larger than the population of Lexington. Boy, I would feel the pressure if the Lord woke me up one morning and said, I'd like for you to put all of Lexington together and have church with them. Okay. But that Gideon said, that's no problem. I'll put an army together. And he did. And it was over 30,000 people put an army together. And so it came to pass that night, that same night, the Lord told him, he said, get up, get down to the host. I've delivered the enemy. That's what he's talking about. I've delivered the enemy into your hand. And then Gideon got nervous after all this positive talk from the Lord, because the Lord didn't quite give him the details. And the details was this. The first time he cut Gideon's army down by 1,000 or 2,000. I just read it this morning. He cut it down to, I think it was 1,000. And no, it was 10,000 because there was 20,000 left. That's a lot of people. And so Gideon's thinking, okay, Lord, that's fine. Just slow down a little bit right here. You're taking my army away. And the reason the Lord did that was because he wanted to make sure Gideon knew and his people knew that I, the Lord, am your salvation, and I'm the one that's going to see you through. So, here we go. Are you ready? We're going to preach the best time to tolerate the enemy. When is the very best time to put up with the enemy and to just deal with the fact he's messing with us? When's the best time to tolerate that? And that's what we want to preach about this morning. Let's pray about it. Holy Ghost, help us. Master, move upon us. Stir up the gift of God within us. Let us receive it, believe it, act upon it. In Jesus' wonderful name, somebody shout amen. And God bless you. You're seated just now. After that, it's up to you. We've got good insurance. Praise the Lord. So here we are with Gideon, and he's down to 20,000. And the Lord takes him to a body of water, and he says, I want all the men to drink. And if this group drinks a certain way, I want you to dismiss them. If this other group drinks another way, I want you to keep them. And one group drank the way the Lord wanted them to, and it was only 300. And so the Lord now has dwindled the army down from 30,000 to 300. And now the Lord says, I want you to fight against your enemy. Gideon was pretty sure about what he could do with the enemy when he had 30, but now he's got 300 and he's nervous. Gideon tried his best to tolerate it. He tried his best to put up with, maybe an army's not the best thing to do. And so all these fleeces begin to come out. Amen. Let me just tell the church, and we don't have a lot of fleecers at Landmark, but don't fleece the Lord. Listen, if he didn't prove himself at Calvary, he'll never prove himself again. If he didn't prove that he can move and that he can touch, he can deliver, he can set free, he can let you know his will, he can let you know what's going on in your life, he can direct you, he can order your paths. If he didn't prove, don't ask him for an Old Testament fleece. Come out of the Old Testament and get in the new and trust in the name of Jesus. But Gideon, he started all this fleece stuff and all this just, you know, killing time and trying to tolerate everything. And then, and the Lord answered him by the fleece, and everything was proven. And so he had to attack with just 300 people. Sometimes it seems that from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the devil is there to drive you crazy. Somebody wave at me and say, that's right. Yeah. All right. And those of you that are private detectives, you don't have to say anything. But I know the enemy's giving you a hard time. So if it's not this, it's that. And that is 10 times worse than this. Don't let me mention the other. Because when it's this and that and the other, that's trouble in paradise. You say, what's this, that, and the other? I don't know. You tell me. Because we all have our own battles, don't we? Amen. If it's not this, it's that. And who is it that just told you last week? It's always something. Because I know they did. Because you know why? It's always something. And so I've always said, sometimes the devil sends his minions to drive us nuts. But when but I just honestly believe that there are other times, I think it's the Red Rider himself. And he just kind of shows up. And that's when I want to sing that famous song from, where was it? Hee Haw. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep down depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And I don't remember the rest. I'm glad. I know you're glad I forgot. Amen. But hey, listen, seriously, and it'll get better, I promise. But how many of you know we have days like that? We have times like that. And so, Pastor, tell us today, when is the very best time to tolerate the devil? I want to pick my battles here, and I want to know, when do we fight him, and when do we come against him, and then when do we just simply put up with his junk? Gideon tried to tolerate the Midianites for a while, and I shared with you about the fleece and all of that. Went from, to be exact, it was 32,000 men of war down to 300. Finally, the Lord basically let Gideon know, enough is enough. Now, I'm going to tell you right here and right now at Landmark, amen, any given time, even during this service, you can click it in your mind to the enemy that enough is enough. And I will not tolerate it anymore. Amen. And you can take a stand. And when you take a stand, you can demand things. Amen. You can call on the name of Jesus, because that's the greatest thing that we have against the enemy. I'm just saying, why put up with the enemy when we've got the name of Jesus? We've already sung about it. Amen. So don't sit there and look at me like a piece of cardboard when you know that we've got the greatest thing that we need, and that's the name of Jesus. I know it's Sunday morning, but I've already come in here fired up. Hallelujah. Amen. And the fire is falling, and the anointing is telling me to tell somebody that if you're sick and tired, then stand up and quit being so sick and tired. Amen. Get faithful to God. Get faithful to the house of God. Get out of the gloom. Get out of the despair. And let the Spirit of God raise you up. Amen. If you continue to do the things you do the same way you've always done them, all you're going to have is the same junk you've always had. Come up. Come out. Get up. Get out. And let God give you victory. Woo, somebody shout amen so I can hear it. My hearing aid battery is dying. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so when Gideon felt that enough was enough, it was Katie barred the door. And there's no offense, Katie. I'm just saying that's a... Katie barred the door. Amen. It only took 300 men. And listen to what it took. It only took a few trumpets. It only took a few pitchers. And I'm not talking about... It took clay pitchers. Just a few pitchers. And it only took a few lamps. Can I dissect that for the church today? Just for a few moments? Amen. It's going to take a few of us making a little bit of noise. And you know who I'd like to make some noise? People that don't ever make noise. Why don't you shake it up a little bit and make a little bit of noise? My Lord, every time I talk about worshiping God, I look at you. Well, why do you look at me? Because I'm thinking this might be the day. This might be the service. This might be the time. Caleb, can you shout hallelujah? All right, he did it. He did it. I'm telling you, there's a breakthrough. Praise God. Amen. God's going to give this man miracles. He's going to raise him up. He's going to use him. He's going to bless him. Amen. Hallelujah. He's asking, how long do I tolerate? And what's the best time to put up with the devil? Amen. But today can be his victory time. Today can be his overcoming time. Today, hey, you don't know the battles this man's facing. I don't know the battles you're facing. You don't know the battles I face. But we're going to face the battles, and we're going to do it in the name of Jesus. And I'm not just talking it. I want to act it. Amen. So somebody, they won the battle with a little bit of noise. Amen. Thank you for making a little bit of noise. Amen. Thank you for your worship and for your praise, because worship and praise is the difference between a dead, dried up, and lifeless church than from a church that is, the Bible calls, lively stones. Jesus said, if these rocks hold their peace, he said, if these people hold their peace, I will cause these rocks to cry out. In other words, he said, something, somewhere has got to make some noise. If we want to have victory, if we want to have overcoming, amen, it's as simple as making a little bit of noise. So the Lord told Gideon, I want some noise. Hallelujah. And then he said, I want you to break the pitchers. I just want you to break them. Amen. So the enemy heard a lot of noise, and then they heard some stuff breaking. Hallelujah. I want the enemy to hear some breaking this morning. Amen. I want somebody to break your will. I want you to break your old ways. I want you to break. You think you got it figured out? Amen. Well, you need to join me and understand you ain't got nothing figured out. Hello? But that we've got to live this thing one day at a time, Brother Yance. We got to walk this thing one step at a time. And we got to beg God to walk with us. And we got to beg God to talk to us. We got to beg God to lead us. We got to call on the name of Jesus. Hello? You say, I don't believe in begging. That's why I'm saying you need to break. You need to break your own will. And you need to call on the name of Jesus. You need to lay on your face a little bit. You need to humble yourself. And you need to get a talk with God. You need to get a real walk with God. You need to get an understanding that without Him, we are hopeless. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I know I need Him. And I may need Him more than anybody here today, but I'm sure there's somebody else that agrees with me right now and understands the fact that I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Amen. And you need to break your will. You need to break down, amen, and become something greater, something more than you have ever been in your walk with God. Amen. There's something to be said about character and presence. You can have a great presence and make everybody think everything, but your personal character is the one that you really are. And that's what needs to break down sometimes. That's what we need to put on an altar sometimes. Because we know who we are. We know what we are. We know where we've been. We know what we've said. We know how we behaved and we know what we look like. Amen. Hallelujah. Every one of us. Praise God. And so we need to break that sometime. We need to alter that sometime. We need to put the anointing on that sometime. I'm just preaching to myself. Hallelujah. Is there somebody here? I'm just asking you right now. Amen. Are you willing to break so we can win this battle against the army of our enemy? Amen. Because somebody's got to make some noise and somebody's got to break. And then it took a little light. Now I like this part. Hallelujah. You make some noise and get used to it. And let it be a part of your apostolic being. Amen. You begin to break things and continue to break things. Hallelujah. As they build up, you break them. Amen. And let God anoint and bless the pieces. Hello? Hello? Amen. I've said it 100 times, but the worst thing that they could have ever taught our children was Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Because Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And when he fell, all the king's horses, all the king's men, amen. I believe that was a subtle message from the devil. All of God's horses, all of God's preachers will never be able to put you back together again. Hey, but I've got news for you. Amen. I'm not Humpty Dumpty. And whatever gets broken, my God can put it back together again. My God can heal it. My God can fix it. My God can do this. Whew. Now don't leave the church because I said something against Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty's not even a real figure. Amen. So just get your mind where it needs to be right now and understand we need to make some noise. We need to break our will and we need to let our light shine before men so they can see Jesus in us. Somebody let your light shine. Let your light shine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We got people that love this church because our light shine. We got people that love the worship in this church because our light shine. We got people that like to hear the preaching because I let the light shine. They like to hear music and the song because they let their light shine. Amen. We pray on Saturday night and man, does the light shine. We teach on Tuesday night and the light. Hey, this Tuesday night at Bible study, some of you that can't break your ways, hallelujah. Amen. We had one receive the Holy Ghost. They repented of their sins. They were baptized in Jesus' name on a Bible study night. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Cody. Hallelujah. There's the man right there, guilty. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He made some noise. He broke some things. And now he's letting his light shine. Woo. Hallelujah. And so Gideon won the battle. Amen. He didn't even need 32,000 people. He didn't even need 300. All he needed to do was make some noise. All he needed to do was break his old ways. He thought he was going to win it with a sword. Am I making sense? Praise God. Hallelujah. And then there was Joshua. He couldn't tolerate it. Amen. Amen. But let me tell you something about Joshua's ordeal. Victory was 40 years in the making. Don't look at me like, oh my word, you're saying that victory's not going to come for 40. I didn't say that. Here's what I'm saying about the 40 years. How old were you when you came to Landmark? Were you 10? Were you 20? Were you 30? Were you 40? Were you 50? Were you 60? What were you when you came to the Lord? It doesn't matter how long you've been out there tolerating the enemy. Amen. But when you come to Landmark, that could be the very last day you have to put up with his mess. That could be the very last day. Amen. You can, your testimonies. I put up with him for 50 years. Joshua put up with him for 80 years. Amen. After 20 years, he went in, scouted it out, knew he could take the land, came out, and was outvoted and had to put up with it another 40 years. Amen. But I'm telling you, you don't have to put up with it another 40 years. You don't have to put up with it another 50 years. Somebody ought to get excited about this stuff. Amen. I'm telling you, deliverance is in the house. Anointing is in the house. Power and authority and dominion is in the house. Praise God. Hallelujah. So how old were you when you wound up in here to find out that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? Praise the Lord. And then David couldn't put up with it. He couldn't take Goliath mocking God. He just couldn't. You're mocking my God. Hey, I can't put up with this. He told his brother, I just came to bring you a ham sandwich. Read it. That's all he did. I just came to bring you a sandwich so you could be stronger and you could fight that monster. There's only one of them. Get out there. And his brother said, I know you just come to make fun of us. You just come to mock us. You just come to... David said, is there not a cause? I could see him slam the sandwich down. Step on it. Is there not a cause? You don't get the sandwich. I'm going to eat the sandwich. And so he said, look at him. Where's the God of Israel? Where's the God? Where's the man? Where's the man? And David just screamed out, I'm coming! And Goliath said, what? And he tried the armor and all of that. Listen, I wish all those young bucks out there that feel like that we don't know the way anymore and we don't know the truth anymore and we don't know how to reach the world anymore. And all they did is went on and went out and put another religion's armor on. That same armor's been around for 150,000 years or whatever it is. Amen. And that's all they've done is went out and put an armor on that doesn't even fit. And they're not going to win the battle. They're not going to win the fight. They're not going to win the war. David did not win the war with a slingshot. He won that with the faith in his God. And he could not stand the fact that that giant and enemy was mocking his God. When Goliath looked at David and said, who am I that I am out here to fight a dog? He was making fun of David's God. And David would not tolerate that. David's thinking was like mine. It doesn't matter what your stature is. It doesn't matter what your standing is in life. It doesn't matter how many generations apostolic you are. If God wants to use me, he can use me. And you will not make fun of a God that can do that. And he stood in front of a giant. Was he supposed to tolerate him? Was he supposed to put up with him? Was he supposed to stand there and let Goliath do whatever he wanted to do? No. Hallelujah. He destroyed his giant because enough was enough. And that's what David had enough of. I want to know if there's somebody in here that's had enough. Is there anybody in here that's had enough? Are you finished with being finished? Are you through with being through? Are you over with being over? When the giant belittled David's stature, he belittled God's ability to deliver. David was thinking, who does this big galoot think he is to put down my God like that? Besides all that, Goliath wasn't very territory savvy. He might have been strong, but he was dumb. Because the terra firma, the geographical location where he stood and was giving such ridicule to Israel, belonged to Israel. It belonged to Judah, in fact. And we know that Judah it means praise. Judah stands for worship. Judah stands for glory and honor to God. And that's where Goliath stood. Let me tell the devil something right now in case he's listening, and I am sure he is. Because he's tag teaming with folks today. And so I just want to tell him, you don't come in here where Judah is and mock our God. You don't come in here and point your finger at me and tell me I'm going to be destroyed. You don't tell me that I'm going down. You don't tell me that I'm not going to make it. You don't tell me that I can't be healed. You don't tell me that I can't be forgiven. Because I just stepped into the house of Judah. I just stepped into the house of praise. Hallelujah. And there is nothing wrong with me than a little worship. There's nothing wrong with me that a little worship can't take care of. There's nothing wrong with me that a little praise can't take care of. Because worship is the way that the battle is won. Somebody ought to get your praise on right now while everybody else is. We're not going to look at you. We're not going to talk about you. We're not going to cut you down. Amen. It's as simple as lifting your hand. That's it. That's a form of praise. And magnify your God. Worship your God. Don't let me have to talk you into praising God when you're in the house of Judah, because you've got giants after you. You've got a devil after you. You've got an enemy after you. Get your hands in the air and let your heart praise God. Don't you walk out of here and say, I ain't going back to that church. They believe that because they got their praise. They got their God. They got their, this ain't mine. This ain't ours. This is his. It's all about him. Amen. Every church ought to praise God. Every house ought to lift up the name of Jesus. Every family ought to reach out to God and believe the Lord. My, 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 my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. David was thinking, who does he think he is? Hallelujah. Besides all that, David, the giant standing in Judah. Judah means praise. Hallelujah. Amen. And the devil knows he can't mess with somebody's hallelujah. Amen. How many of you ever heard about or seen those little fences you put under the ground for the dog? I mean, he's that's what your hallelujah does. Hallelujah. He's coming. He's coming. And then you're in here and you say, hallelujah. And you could hear the brake squeal. Because that's as far as he can go. Amen. But if he ever talks you out of your praise, you're a sunk duck. I don't care how smart you are in religion. I don't care how much of the Bible you know. I don't care how much, hey, listen to me. I don't care how many Sunday school pins you got. I don't care how long you've been coming. I don't care what, listen, if he gets your hallelujah, he's got you. He's got you by the throat. But what you need to do is stand up and shake him off in the fire and come on with your hallelujah. Amen. So you can shake that off. Amen. Hallelujah. We're preaching about the best time to tolerate the devil. Amen. Samson repented and body slammed the enemy because he couldn't tolerate the enemy any longer. He played games with God's gifts until it got him in so much trouble he couldn't get out. And then all of a sudden, standing there with his eyes blinded. Hallelujah. It's amazing how we can be right in the middle of the church and be blind as bats because we refuse to make noise. We refuse to break and we refuse to let light shine. Hallelujah. But then all of a sudden, Samson said, Lord, If you'll give it to me one more time, I'll treat it with respect. If you'll give it to me one more time, I'll honor it. If you'll give it to me one more time, I won't mess with it. I won't play with it. I won't tease people with it. I won't make goofy little rhymes with it and mysteries. But Lord, I will use it for the glory of Almighty God. All of a sudden, strength came where there hasn't been strength in a long time. Anointing came where there hasn't been anointing in a long time. I feel that beginning to erupt right here in somebody's life right now. Amen. You're saying, Lord, what have I done? Where have I been with it? God, renew it. Stir up the gift of God. Hallelujah. And then he put his hands on the pillars and he broke the pillar. The temple of his enemy collapsed. Not just the enemy, but his whole house collapsed right there before him. And the Bible told us that he destroyed more of his enemy right there in one day than he had in a lifetime. Hallelujah. He took his enemy's temple down and destroyed more of them. Amen. So, the best time to tolerate the enemy, here's the best way I can describe it. Years ago, I hunted with a gentleman. And he had a little boy about, at that time, I think he was about 5, 6 years old. And he always took his son hunting with him. But this particular day, wasn't going to be able to take him. And he asked his daddy, he said, "You going to take me hunting with you, Daddy?" And he said, "Not today, son." Well, you know how they can put their pout on. I mean, it's dangerous. Because their lip droops to where they can trip over it and get hurt. And so he put his pout on. And he said, "I know when you're going to take me hunting. Never." That's when. Never, never, never. And that's the best time to tolerate the enemy. Never. Let's stand. Never, never, never. That's when. Never. Hallelujah. Amen. But Pastor, you don't know. No, I don't know, and I don't have to know. But God knows. And he knows how to deliver. He knows how to set free. He knows how to help. He knows how to bring you strength. Amen. Look at Isaiah 59 and 19. So shall they fear what? You? Me? Church crowd? Hello? So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Can I do a shift for you? Amen. This was translated by King James. I'm not going to change the word. I know better than that. I could be cursed for changing the word. But could I move the comma just a little bit right there? Amen. When the enemy shall come in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. I'm going to put that flood on the Lord's side. Because when the Lord is on my side, there is no flood from the enemy. Amen. So when should I put up with his junk? When should I put up with his mess? When should I put up with his attacks? And in all of it, and I'm telling you right now before the good Lord, in the very presence of God, you don't ever have to put up with it. Because we have a force that he has to reckon with. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. And look what you have received. You shall receive power. When? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the power. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can have it before you leave this place. And then you shall have the overcoming power. Amen. Here's my question. Is there anybody that needs anything from our God today? I want you to make your way to an altar. I want you to come quickly. I don't want you to worry about your neighbor. Stop looking at your brother. Stop looking at your sister. And come and get it. It's ready. Come and get it while it's hot. Hallelujah. Amen. There's victory. There's power. There's authority. Come on down. Come on down.
Joy of the Lord, Father. Woo. Press on me.
Yeah.
I feel the joy of the Lord delivering.
Oh, yeah.
I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
Somebody help me pray with somebody. Somebody help me reach out with somebody. Help me believe God with somebody right now.
Yeah. Another day.
Yeah.
I'm here to claim deliverance in Jesus' name.
Come on.
Through my veins,
come on.
Child of the King.
Come on.
Buried in
our hands once again and let's praise Him together. Magnifying and glorifying the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Woo. If I ask you a question, would you be honest with me? Would you be? I'm going to be honest with you. Amen. Do you drive the car or truck that you really want to be driving? Do you live in the house that you truly want to be living in? Here's a good one. Do you have all the money that you want? Then why come in here and need something else from God when He is here to give you everything you need? Hear me. The enemy can get our finances. The enemy can get our cars and our trucks. He can take our guns and our houses. He can take our jobs. He can even take family members. But if we would vow to God today, we'll put ourselves in a safe place. If we can simply vow to God today, He will never get my worship. He will never take my praise. I will always give God honor. I will always give God glory. And we'll be okay. Because when we give Him the praise, we're making noise. When we give Him our praise, we're breaking stuff. And when we give Him our praise, we're letting our light shine. And that's what He has asked us to do in our battles, just like Gideon. Look behind you, Gideon. You started with 32,000. You ended up with 300. But by the time the battle is over, you learned that it just took each individual, no matter how many there are or how many there isn't, just each individual doing what they were supposed to do, as I told them, and you won the battle. Do you know what the enemy did? Just like Goliath, a lot of brawn, but not a lot of brain. They destroyed themselves. They turned on themselves. Gideon never had to fire a shot and left with the victory because he scared the enemy so bad they killed themselves. They thought Gideon was all up in the midst and it was dark. They killed themselves. Hello? Wouldn't you like to see the enemy just kind of collapse and just stand off at a distance and watch all that take place? Let's do what we got to do, because it's never, ever a good time to tolerate the enemy. God bless you as you're dismissed.